Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the cross. Lord, as we're going to talk about this morning, as we wrap up John 14, 6, and what a wonderful verse that was. What a wonderful thing it was for us to be able to focus on the entire month of your words that you were the way, you were the truth, you were the life. And Lord, we realize that if it weren't for the cross, none of that would be possible. And we're so appreciative this morning, so grateful, so thankful for your son's death in our place, but more importantly, he didn't just stay dead. He's alive today. Well, thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that we're going to talk about today where he is right now. And Lord, we're just so thankful for what this verse really means and what an appropriate month for us to look at it as we prepare for Thanksgiving. We have so much to be able to thank you for and praise you for as believers, no matter where we are on the scale of society, whether we're rich or poor, educated or uneducated, no matter where we are, if we have a relationship with you, we have eternal destiny of the hope of heaven because of the cross. And this morning, we just pray that you'd be glorified in our time together. Lord, just help us have thankful hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish up this. The message this morning itself is going to be fairly quick. You have the handout there. But we're going to do a couple different things. We have the thank you notes. We're going to do a couple in your bulletin there. So we're going to spend a few minutes at the end doing that. But so far, we have looked at the three phrases in John 14, 6. And I've asked you to read that through every day for the month. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the way. And as you read through the verse to emphasize the next word in the verse as you read it through. So read it through 21 times and you'll emphasize, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've looked at the first three words so far with great assurance. We've been reminded of what those first three words, the way, the truth, and life. And we have the banners, which, by the way, will be coming down tomorrow night. So plan to come out and join us for next week. We're starting our Christmas series. Next week, we're going to be looking at the joy stealers of Christmas. But plan on coming out. But just thinking of these three words and what a comfort they are to us and what gratitude we should have as we approach Thanksgiving on Thursday. Not just thankful for family, which we should be, not just thankful for our homes and the heat that we have, but thankful for what Christ did on the cross for us. And Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. But we're going to be looking this morning at the final phrases. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we're going to look at just like we did those first few. So this morning, let's see if this is going to work. Ron, it worked earlier. There we go. No one. That's all one word in the Greek. And I have in your notes there, the Greek word is oudais, and it means this. I start to say it's a very tricky. People complain that they don't understand what the Bible says. What does no one really mean? Well, no one. Oudais means not even one, none, nothing. When Jesus says no one, that's exactly what he means. And I put up here when Jesus is talking here. He's saying no man, no woman, no child, no living individual. So if you have breath and you're breathing today, or people in the past who ever did have breath and were breathing, it meant every one of us. No one. No one. And I want you to understand that he is speaking to everyone here. He's speaking to the religious leaders of the church as well as those who are just part of the congregation. Church members. He was speaking to rich. He was speaking to poor. He was speaking to the educated, the uneducated. He was speaking to those who we would say were rich and famous, as well as those who were poor and unknown. And Jesus is teaching that I'm not merely the way, the truth, and the life, but that there is no other way. I am the only way. So Jesus is saying, I am the only way. So in your notes, it's just saying there is no other way. There's no other way to get to God but through me. No one will come to the Father but through me. Comes. This is a great, great word. This word means come, enter, accompany, appear. And it's really important that Jesus didn't say, goes to the Father. He didn't say, no one goes to the Father but through me. He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. And I put in your notes, it's a pet peeve of mine when people misuse this word. Have you ever had people do that? It's almost like they don't really understand what the word comes means. I was thinking back of conversations with friends and in school and over the years, but someone would say, hey, you coming to the party next week? Were you going to be there? No, I'm not able to go. Well, then it's not come to the party. It's are you going to the party? There's a big difference between someone saying, are you going to go to the party? Because I'm not sure if I'm going to be there or not. But if someone says, are you going to come to the party? It's implying what? That they're going to be there too, right? So when Jesus says, no one comes, he is saying, I'm already there, or I will be there. See, Jesus is saying, you cannot come where I am unless you come through the directions that we've given you. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And you can't come to where I am, not go to where I am, but you cannot come to where I am unless you go my way. Really, really important for us to understand that Jesus is saying here, I will be in heaven. I will be there. To the Father. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes to the Father but through me. And this is what I said. This is what we're going to talk about here. This is where Jesus is right now. This is God's throne room where Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand. And I want to ask you a question. Where do you picture Jesus right now? When you picture Jesus, what do you see? We're coming up to Christmas, and some of you might think of Jesus as being this beautiful little baby in a manger. Some of you might see him being a young man teaching in the temple as a 12-year-old when his parents came and found him. Some of you might picture him as an adult standing on the seashore and getting ready to teach the multitudes, or maybe dividing the bread and feeding the multitudes. Maybe you see him walking on the water. Maybe you see him hanging on the cross. Maybe you picture him raising from the dead. But I want you to understand where Jesus is right now is he is seated at the Father's right hand. And the Bible tells us that he's interceding for you and I. And talking to the Father about you and I in words that we don't understand and things that we don't even know about ourselves, Jesus is talking to God the Father about every one of his children. He's talking to God about you and I. And he's saying, when he says again, back to the word comes, he's saying that because heaven is where he is and heaven is where he will be. He is with the Father right now interceding for you and I. The next word is a small word, but it may be the biggest word, well, certainly the biggest word in this verse, and maybe the biggest word in the Word of God. A small word with a huge meaning for us today. What if Jesus had stopped, no one comes to the Father? What if he had just stopped talking there and said, no one ever comes to the Father, and then finished his message and walked away? That was it. We would be lost, wouldn't we? We would be hopeless. We would be not only deserving of eternal hell, but we would be destined to eternal hell because we would be hopeless. We'd be helpless. There would be nothing that we could do to get to heaven. If Jesus had stopped and said, no one comes to the Father, I'm done. But he uses a small word that said, no one comes to the Father but. So something's a little bit better than that first part of the statement. No one comes to the Father, but there's more here. A huge word. And we need to understand when Jesus used this word, the moment he said it, when he was talking this to Thomas and talking to his disciples, when he said, no one comes to the Father, but Satan stopped in his tracks. Satan knew that his destiny was done. He was defeated. And through that simple word, but, Jesus offered eternal life to every one of us. Jesus offered eternal life to the world. Now, there are still many today in our world who choose to stop it. No one comes to the Father. And they refuse to trust in Jesus Christ, their Savior. They refuse to put trust in him. But Jesus said, I died for the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, that little word, but, is for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Know that if we were to die, that we will be with the Father because we've trusted in the way, the truth, and the life. We put our trust in Jesus because of this little word, but. Then the last phrase, he says, but through me. I believe this may be the best summary of our 31 weeks in our study over the past year, beginning back in February and ending in September, was our study of the story. And I believe this word may be the best summary of the entire book that we read. Because, as we said a number of times through those weeks, it was all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. From Genesis 1, when we see God creating the world, and we read through the Old Testament, and we see all the Old Testament sacrifices. We see God giving the law. We see people rebelling and running from God, and God continuing to restore them and put his arms around them and embracing them and saying, in spite of your adulterous hearts, I still love you. And in spite of when he had to wipe out the 10 northern tribes and send them into captivity. And then we come to the New Testament when Jesus is born, and then we watch him die on the cross. And then, as I said, it didn't end there. It ended with the resurrection. And then we went to Revelation to know the story never ended there either. But through Genesis, through the end of Revelation, it's all about Jesus. It's all through me. And I put on here that people don't like Christianity because they say, you sound very exclusive. And we are. Christianity really is exclusive, and it's not that we don't want people in it. We want everyone to join our group, don't we? But Jesus saying it is very exclusive. There's only one way. It's not multiple ways, and it really does matter what you believe. I've had people tell me that it really doesn't matter what I believe because we're all going to go to heaven. I remember hearing a speaker at a youth conference one time. I believe it was Tony Campolo. And you can think what you want about Tony Campolo, but this particular message was pretty good one. I'm pretty sure it was him. And he was talking about getting on an airplane, and they were flying from Los Angeles. He taught in Philadelphia in a college there. And he said he got on the plane, and he said when he didn't mind talking to people, he told him he was a philosophy man, and people like to talk about that. He said, if I didn't want to talk to people, I just told him I was a Baptist pastor, and it usually shut people right up. And he said, this guy told him I was a Baptist pastor because I was really tired. And the guy wanted to talk anyway. And Tony Campolo said he listened to the man. And the man said, well, if you're a Baptist pastor, you believe in the Bible, right? You just believe in the exclusivity of that Christianity is very exclusive. And Tony Campolo said, yes. And the man said to him, well, I believe that Christianity is just like all the religions of the world, that it doesn't matter where you fly. It's like getting on an airplane. It doesn't matter where you go or what your destiny is. Planes are all heading up into the sky, and they can all be taken off and kind of veered to go to any direction they want. And Tony Campolo said, "Why? I really hope that our pilot doesn't think like that today." He said, "I need to get to Philadelphia." He said, "That's my destination." I said, "I hope he doesn't divert and go to China or Japan or whatever." And he said, "Not all roads lead to heaven." And he got the man thinking, and he said, it really does matter what you believe. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. God doesn't distinguish between Muslim and Catholic and Hindu and Christians and Protestants and all that. It doesn't matter what your race or your sex is. It doesn't matter any of that. What the question is going to be when we stand before God is, did you come through my Son? Did you trust in what my Son did on the cross? It's what we do with Christ in this life that makes the difference of where we're going to spend eternity. And Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but through me. It's the crossed out life. It's Jesus providing the way. We're going to listen to a song in just a couple moments. I don't know, if, Ron, if you got that queued up, that Point of Grace song. But this is one of my favorite illustrations that I use in witnessing to people all the time. It's one of the pictures out of the Steps to Peace with God. And it shows way over here this far-reaching cliff is eternal life. And over here is man's problem. It's our sin. And the picture just before this, I didn't put it up here, but the picture just before this in the book shows man trying to bridge this great chasm between our problem of sin and God's offer of eternal life. And it's all these different things that man's tries. He tries good works. He tries morality. He tries philosophy. He tries religion. And they all fall short. When I talk to people, I say, let's just imagine that this cliff, and I usually, if I don't have the track with me, I draw it on a piece of paper, and I say, let's just imagine that this cliff over here of eternal life is only 100 feet away from where we are. God says, I want you to be perfect as I am perfect. So it's a lot further than 100 feet than man could ever be. But God says, I want you to be perfect. And I usually have the persons I'm sharing with them tell me some of the things that they struggle with. It could be lying. It could be whatever. It could be hatred, which equips to murder, equates to murder. So, you know, they can have all these different things. And I say, well, let's imagine that you are the greatest broad jumper in the world. And I don't know how far the current Olympic record is for broad jump. A person runs full speed, jumps, and they get out maybe 20, 25 feet. Anybody know what the latest is? But let's say you jump 20 feet, and people say, wow, that's great. As we stand on the edge of man's problem of sin and watch you fall into the chasm of eternal hell, we say, well, that was a great effort. You did good. And then we have people up there, little kids who run and just fall off the edge, or a person in a walker or a wheelchair, they get up speed and just roll over the edge. It doesn't matter how far you can jump. If you're a human doing human efforts, the furthest you're going to do is what the world record would be is 20 feet, say. We all fall short of what God's standard of you need to be perfect as I am perfect. So how do we get there? And then you flip the page. And it's the cross. Jesus provided the way of eternal life. And that's what this verse is all about, this closing of the verse. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's a song that we're going to listen to by Point of Grace called The Great Divide. It's an older song, but the words will be up here, and I want you to listen to it. And I have you to on your handout there to finish out the song at the bottom of the page, okay? So The Great Divide by Point of Grace.
Yeah.
cross that cost his son his life gave me mine. I love that phrase in the song. If you didn't get that bottom part, there's a bridge to cross the great divide, but through Christ there's a cross to bridge the great divide. That's what that last picture is talking about. That through Christ, and only through Christ, as he says, no one comes to the Father but through me. It's only because he enabled us to have a relationship with him as he hung on the cross for us. We can't get to eternal life through morality, through good works, through being religious, coming to church, carrying a Bible. We can't do that. No matter what church you belong to, you could be a leader, a deacon, a pastor. It doesn't matter what you are. It's what you've done with Christ. And I just want to spend a few minutes just praising the Lord today. This is coming up to Thanksgiving time. And look back over the verse and just a few sentence prayers. God, I just want to thank you for being the way. God, I want to thank you that it's only through you. But just spend a few minutes and just thanking God as we focus on what this verse really means to us today. And then we're going to wrap up with those in appreciation notes in just a minute, a couple minutes. But let's just spend a few minutes just praising God for who he is and what he's done for us. And just pray as many times as you want doing sentence prayers, but just keep them short. But I'd like to have as many of you pray. If you've never prayed before, just do a sentence prayer with God, I praise you for. All right, and then when we're done, I'm going to close.